Blog Talk Radio.
Nobody pray for me. It been a day for me.
Yeah.
Hey, I remember syrup sandwiches and crime allowances. Finessing on them with some counterfeits, but now I'm counting this. Parmesan with my accountant lips, in fact, I'm down in this. You say with my boo, babe, tastes like Kool-Aid for the analyst. Girl, I can buy a Westie World with my face stuff. I know that it's good, won't you sit it on my taste buds? I get way too petty, won't you let me do the extras? Pull up on your block and break it down, we playing Tetris. AM to the PM, PM to the AM funk. Eat up your per diem, you just gotta hate them funk. If I quit your BM, I still rock Mercedes funk. If I quit this season, I still be the greatest funk.
My left stroke just went viral.
Right stroke put a baby in a spiral. Soprano C, we like to keep it on the high note. It's levels to it, you and I know. Tell them be humble.
Hold up.
Sit
hold
down.
Hold up.
Be humble.
Hold up.
Sit
hold
down.
Up.
Sit down. Be humble.
Hold up.
Sit down.
Hold up.
Be humble.
Hold up.
Sit down.
Hold up.
Be humble.
Hold up.
Sit down.
Hold up.
Be humble.
Hold up.
Sit down.
Be
humble. Sit down. Be humble. Sit down.
Welcome to the Inspired Movement. We are so grateful that you are tuning in for our relaunch. I have Jewel Elfers here with me as my co-host, and we are excited to dig into this topic. Hi, Jewel. How are you today?
I am doing awesome. I'm just trying to get over a little sniffly sniff. So if you hear me sniffling a little bit or hear a little cough, I promise I don't got that Rona right now. I know that's going around, but I don't have it. So it's just allergies, but I'm so excited for us to be back together and rocking on here for all of y'all to listen and just to keep you guys informed and just share with y'all, you know, just what our thought process is on some of these topics that's going on. So just shout out to those that have supported us in the past and to those that's tuning in now. Please, if you get an opportunity, share this link. One thing about me and Jasmine, we love to just be honest and open, and we hold back nothing. So I hope that you guys enjoy us digging into this topic more. And also, too, if you want to comment, just jump on, give us a call. We would love to hear what you have to say. Would love to get your insight on it. So I'm really excited about us digging into this topic, cousin.
Yeah, and if you want to tap in live and call into our live show, you can dial 516-418-5507. That is 516-418-5507. We would love to engage and chat with you this evening. Our topic tonight, woo, buddy.
Whew.
We've been going through some stuff, y'all.
Oh, my God.
Coronavirus.
Rona out here. She out here in these streets, John.
I don't even know if it's a lady or a man. I don't even think it has a gender.
I don't know. I think it might be a lady, only because when it comes to women, I mean, we real smooth. If we don't like something, we don't just hit you just up front. We hit you from the back, the side. We come in up under the door. We coming through the windows. We might break in the... I mean, we come from all angles if we not happy, so...
I get that. You absolutely right.
That's Rona.
I can't argue with that. But you know what, y'all? We got to laugh to keep from crying in this season, in all honesty. We are being hit with a lot in this season with everything that's going on in the media, just in the world, with things shutting down and closing, just our way of life. And, you know, it's so funny when we get to a place where we all realize that we're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Our song in the beginning of our show is Be Humble, you know, and I feel like, honestly, America has been humbled in this situation and everything that we're enduring. We've been humbled to realize that neither one of us are better than the other, that it doesn't matter if we're black, white, red, or green, that we all get afflicted the same way.
Yeah.
And things get hit our home in the same manner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest thing that we need to take out of all of this, that we are equal. Yeah.
And it's been so much strife and pain and so many things that have transpired over the last four to six years when it's really gotten really heavy.
Yeah.
Of the just the racial division and just so many things that's happening that's causing us to divide against each other instead of draw together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I honestly believe that with this coronavirus, it is affecting us all differently.
Yeah.
And the topic of our show tonight is coronavirus. How is it affecting your faith or charging your fear? So me and Jewel are going to jump in and tackle this subject tonight, but we would love if you want to call in or if you just want to comment, you can log in and you can hit the link and you can comment and talk live with us and we'll chat back. It's totally up to you. I know some people don't like to be live or have their voice on the air, but we love to engage with our people.
Yes, yes,
so
yes.
Please, please take advantage of that guest call-in number, which is 516-418-5507. So, Jewel, what do you think about everything that's going on today?
Man, when you talk about that song, Sit Down, Be Humble, you know it's humble out here when people out here looking for toilet paper to wipe their behind. They don't. At the end of the day, we all need an opportunity to have the right stuff to wipe our behind. I mean, flat out. It's pretty humble. But I know I'm being silly right now, but that's the truth. I mean, I know I ended up seeing a post by one of our good friends, Shane, where he ended up posting a post about, you know, just even with the refugee situations, you know, with some of the refugees that have come from other countries that have been afflicted and going through, you know, whether it's corrupt governments or war-torn situations and how they are coming and fleeing over here for assistance, and how there are some, there's some people that, you know, they're like, okay, yeah, you know, let's welcome them and let's help, you know, let's help them. Because one thing about America, we, you know, it says, you know, on the Statue of Liberty, you know, bring your poor, bring your, you know, I can't, I'm probably misquoting, but bring your poor and bring those that are restless, and basically just how our country was founded on welcoming, you know, those that are seeking, you know, true freedom. And so you have a situation where some people really uphold that, you know, and then you have the other group of people that's like, you know, no, they're taking from us, they're taking from us, they're taking from us, you know, we don't want that. And now we find ourselves as Americans in a situation where we're ripping and running and trying to reach out and figure out, you know, what to do in order to combat this thing. We have to reach out to other countries and nations that have experienced this before us and ask for their help and their input. And now we find ourselves in a very humble state. You know, our money and our wealth means nothing at this point when it comes to your health and your ability to breathe, your ability to be able to get health care and get the necessities of life, food, water, shelter, you know, all those things. We find ourselves smack dab in the middle of the same situation. So I think that for me, just kind of looking at everything overall, you know, it shows kind of what is the true heart posture of America. Like, do we really stand for those things that we say that we stand for, or do we only stand for them when it's only convenient for us? You know, so yeah, it's been interesting kind of seeing, you know, everything.
Well, looking at the shelves in the store, we only think about ourselves, technically. Looking at, you know, going in the Kroger's and going in Meijer's and going in the Walmart's and the different stores and finding the shelves bare of the necessities that we need, far as toilet paper, water, meat, and vegetables. And it's sad. One of our local, well, not local, it's kind of outside of, right outside of Old Toledo, fruit and vegetable markets that really tended to everyone, even the Michigan and Ohio area, just had to close their doors the other day. That is just sad in itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to think about all the businesses that are unable to function because of what's going on. And we're such a privileged country. And I feel like this humbling had to take place in order for us to realize that none of us are different.
Yeah.
That we are all human and we're all able. And you know how they were first trying to say this virus kind of discriminated. You know, they were trying to say the virus was racist. Wait a minute.
They were trying to say the virus only likes like 80-year-olds. You know.
So that's being ageist. They just
was saying, you know.
So does it like say, oh wait, you look like you over the
age 80. I'm gonna hit you. You know. No. And so as things progress,
it's an ageist virus. Wow. That's a new one.
Yeah.
Right.
So they were pretty much saying, it can only affect people that are older or, you know, going through these different things and stuff. And now they're realizing, actually, no, anybody can catch it. Some people have more things that go wrong with them
mm-hmm.
when they acquire the disease, but others, you know, might not have any symptoms at all.
Yeah.
And the youngest so far in Ohio, we're in Ohio, and the youngest in Ohio has been 14. As of right now, I think, and the oldest, I think, was in their 80s. So we are, like, covering a broad spectrum.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I can, it somewhat makes sense to me when it says that, yeah, of course, it's going to attack those people that are probably older or younger. Not probably, it has. Attack people that are older, younger, people that have existing health issues. You know, of course, they would be the ones that would be more susceptible. But I think, you know, kind of to your point in the beginning, they did a poor job of you know, speaking about the level of effect that it really could have on the population. I mean, at first they reported it in a way as though, like you said, it only affected older people that were over 80. Now, maybe that could have been at the time, the statistics that they had, that was the only people that they saw. And at first we were seeing articles and blurbs and, you know, the media or on the news, the different things saying that, you know, they don't really believe that it was going to have that big of an effect on anybody that is, you know, younger than their 70s and 80s. So I felt like that kind of fed into people being more haphazardous about caring for themselves.
Yeah.
And so now, you know, after they found out that this, you know, this virus has an incubation period of 2 weeks. And they started to see, oh crap, you know, there were people that was carrying this and not having, they were what they call, I guess, asymptomatic, where they had no symptoms, but they were carrying, they were positive for it. And now we see a huge rise in the level of people that have it, you know, from, you know, I know it originally supposedly started out in Wuhan, China. I even heard a reporter from Kenya was saying that actually there were some cases of it. I want to say if it was in Kenya or parts of Africa in December. And then they ended up, we started hearing about it public, you know, as far as what was going on in China. And I mean, and, you know, to the listeners out there, if you're not familiar with China, a lot of times most of the stuff that goes on in that area, you're not going to really hear about hardly at all because they're so tight-lipped about what they release publicly. And that's just a part of the type of nation that they have. That's a part of their political makeup, you know, being a communistic country. But just as things started to progress, I felt like the United States, and, you know, and we're speaking our opinion, you know, so obviously if you have a different opinion, jump on, please. But as we just started to hear things, you know, we were really surprised as it got momentum, you know, all the different cases that we heard that was out there.
Hi, welcome to the show, Max. Who's calling? Okay, that call just dropped. All righty.
Oh, well, whoever was that tried to call in, definitely please try to give us a call back at 516-418-5507. We would love to hear back from you. But yeah, you know, as we started hearing more cases pop up with people in different age brackets, and we started hearing the cases coming out of South Korea, cases that was coming out of, you know, Italy. And I think the one for Italy, when Italy got hit so hard, that was the thing that I think that woke up America even more, especially because you think of Italy, you don't think of them as a country completely shutting down their entire everything. So that was super, super surprising when I ended up hearing about what happened out of Italy, and then people that were getting super sick that were younger, that was fit, that were relatively healthy. So definitely something that kind of threw me for a loop as we were getting more and more information about it. But I think, you know, I don't know how you guys feel out there that's listening. I mean, does anybody feel like, you know, as far as America's responses to all of these different things, do you guys feel like America responded as fast as we could? I mean, I know there are some people that felt like, you know, we got the information, we put things into action right away. And I know some people felt like, you know, there was a halt and a slowing of whether we truly believed what was going on or that we truly believed that it was going to hit our shores as hard as it did, you know. And I mean, I know that, you know, us as a whole, as, you know, a country, sometimes America can be kind of arrogant at times. There's times where we can be super brave and we can be the ones that pioneer moves. But then there's other times where we can be pretty arrogant and hard-headed. So, I mean, what do you think about that, Jeff?
I think you're absolutely right. and everything you said, I just kind of want to touch base with that caller. And I want to apologize because that caller might not have wanted to be live on air. And they just kind of wanted to call in and listen live on the show. So, caller, if you want to call back, it said that the call dropped, but I'm unsure. You're more than welcome to call back, and we will not add you in live on the show unless you let us know that you want to be a part of the show. Thank you so much. Just to put that little blurb out there.
Get working them kicks out.
Yep. And so I end up hitting like, oh, they're here. Like, put them on. But that person probably just really wanted to listen.
Gotcha.
But Desiree has been tuning in on our live chat. We shout out Desiree Strauss for just typing in and chiming in on our live chat on our Blog Talk Radio. But we just thank you all once again so much for just kind of tuning in. But back to what you were saying.
Yeah, just in your opinion, I mean, do you feel like America was fast in responding to this outbreak once we heard, or do you feel like perhaps we probably could have been a lot quicker? I'm sorry, y'all. I'm looking at her face, and one thing about Jazz that she has many, many facial expressions that I wish y'all could see, but
oh, man. Okay. Do I think America responded on time? Absolutely not.
Pray tell. Do tell us. Why? Go. Let's dig deeper.
Because when it was released months ago that a pandemic was on the rise and something could happen potentially that can cripple the American people, it was not taken seriously by people in leadership.
Wait a minute. Are you trying to say that somebody said something and we don't know what they said? I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, I just.
He said what now? What did he say?
What did he say?
Hey, Jeff, what did he say? Hey, I'm walking in the house, bro. He said what now? What did
he say? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Someone in leadership did not properly execute what he had the power to execute quickly to protect the American people. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
And also, too, just from things I've been reading and researching and how long particular pandemic has been going on,
mm-hmm.
I think it's quite frustrating because I feel like so many people could have been saved and could have been, their lives could have been spared had we jumped on it sooner.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. I get what you're saying. I think also too, the confusion about the testing kits and all of that because from what I understood, and I mean, hey, if there's anybody that can chime in about this, you know, about these testing kits, 516-418-5507. From what I understood, the WHO, or, you know, the World Health Organization, they, I guess, ended up coming up with some testing kits that they started sending to different parts of the world. And I guess from what I understood, they had sent us some testing kits a couple months prior, or about a month or so prior. And so I guess I guess the CDC, or people, whoever takes care of our stuff here in America, they deemed those testing kits to not be of good quality or not good enough. How they came to that conclusion, I don't know, considering that they've used them in other countries and apparently they were working for them. But, hey, what do I know? You know. So, but for some reason, they deemed those testing kits to not be sufficient. And I guess they wanted to come up with their own testing kits. And that also added to the immense delay as far as how quick we were able to respond to it. But I think also, too, I know that a few years ago, there were some tests that were ran, some hypothetical tests that was ran with the committee that they had for the White House on, you know, handling situations as if, you know, if America were to be in a pandemic situation. And at the time when they ran those different scenarios, it was shown at that point that we would not be prepared if we were to be in a pandemic situation. And so it's like when you think about, you know, that and hearing about how that was already brought to the table and then how no one really moved on that situation then, you know, even with all the facts aside of now, even let's say, you know, just for, you know, the heck of it, America truly did not know or wasn't 100% sure, and they did jump in as fast as in their minds they should have. It still doesn't take away from the fact that it was spoken about, and forgive me if my timing is wrong, at least with months further back to a couple years further back, that America wasn't prepared for a pandemic situation. So if anything, that's the thing that stands out to me the most as far as us being very, very, you know, arrogant or prideful and thinking that, okay, you know what, that's not that big of a deal. We really don't need to worry about that. And now we find ourselves in that situation.
Absolutely. just with us being in with our jobs, financial institutions, and watching, you know, what goes on in those instances during a pandemic, it is tough,
mm-hmm.
you know, to watch the American people, because they never really had to suffer or struggle to the degree that we could have struggled, or the countries that we say they need to get it together or they need to stay where they're at or go back to where you came from. When we say those things,
mm-hmm.
if God brings us out of this, I think we will be, I think some of us, I'm not going to say all of us, because the way people are doing these grocery stores, I would say some of us, I think, will be humble to a place where we'll realize that we didn't have it as bad as we thought.
Yeah.
We got our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world being martyred. And they've been, famine has hit their land plenty of times.
Man.
We don't know what that looks like.
Yeah.
America has become fat and greedy and needy and prideful and, you know, overconsumption in self and self-adoration and self, you know, just putting on, you know, the videos and just how we just, everything is about us and selfies
yeah.
and
yeah.
everything in America. And so I honestly believe America has been sold to be humble.
Wow. Wow. That's deep. That's deep. I mean, whew, wow. Well, now we done took this to a whole nother level, because when you think about how America's beginnings were and just where our current position is when it comes to our relationship with the rest of the world and how many things America had to sacrifice in order to be able to be in the position that it is economically, in the position that it is as far as the position of power and all those different things, a lot of stuff has been sacrificed. Like when you say America has been sold, that can go on a lot of levels. You know, you think about how a person will sell themselves out in order for them to be able to obtain a certain level of position, a certain level of access, you know, a certain level of gains monetarily. Like when you think of that, it's scary, and it's the realisticness of, you know, the human heart and the human condition. And when you look at leaders and leadership around the world. Most countries that have thrive and they get to their positions fast and quickly, a lot of times there is a level of taintedness to it. Now, granted, there are some people that have been in leadership positions on governmental platforms that, you know, were amazing, you know, that for the most part did right by their countries. But a lot of times when it came to trying to usurp authority and trying to gain ground and being able to control things and control resources, America is known for being a country of conquest. I mean, most major countries are countries of conquest, but none like America. America is probably the biggest country when it comes to conquest. And so sometimes I feel like you said, you know, when it comes to our position with how our relationships are with people across the world, there is a selling of self when it comes to America. You know, like look at our healthcare system. You know, the country makes money off of people being sick. That's America selling itself. It's selling its own people through illnesses in order for them to have a come up, you know, through the drug companies and all those different things. It's like, it's sad, like the way that our country is positioned when it comes to growth and development. We don't get praised and we don't excel in doing things that truly help the embetterment of people. We make more, the biggest area of making money is off wars. Like anybody mm-hmm. that's in the financial markets that understand how markets work, they know that money, the biggest financial gains that happen when it comes to the market is during times of war.
Let's pause for a second. Desiree Strauss is on our live chat and she said, so basically the bully is getting bullied now. I mean, it was going to happen. I agree with you 100%, Desiree.
Wow.
That was well put.
Yes.
That was well put. Pretty much.
Yeah.
The bully is getting bullied now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You can't go around dogging people and mistreating people and think that you're not going to have to taste your own medicine at some point. And that's not to take away from, like I said, I know there are instances where America has done some awesome things or have created paths. Like, for instance, America is the biggest country that sends out the most missionaries out of any other country in the world. You know, so there are things that are, you know, awesome when it comes to America. But a lot of times what happens is that the dark sides of the way that we handle our country and the way that our government handles different situations, sometimes we tend to want to slide over that and sugarcoat over those dark things that really need to be dealt with, that's actually handicapping our government and handicapping our country. And what we do is we say that people are not patriotic if they call those things out. You know, so when you think about stuff like the coronavirus and you think about all these other things that, you know, that has happened, you know, in our country, some of the things happen because of things that's left unchecked.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh my God, this conversation goes so many different directions with what you said. What happens when things are left unchecked? You know, that can go so incredibly far when things aren't checked. If I don't teach my children right from wrong, and I don't check when a situation occurs that can cause them harm, I'm literally setting up my child for failure.
Yep.
I'm setting them up to operate out of a place of weakness and not out of a place of authority.
Yep. And then let's take it even further. If a person is operating out of a place of weakness, a lot of times that weakness leads to fear, or that fear might lead to anger. And then what is the response after that?
Hmm.
So take that same scenario on a country, on a governmental level, on the way that a country is ran. If you have a country that has neglected certain aspects of its society, and those areas are left unchecked, you know, those like with health issues and our health care is left unchecked. Those that have served our country that's not being cared for, that's left unchecked. You have the elderly that's not being properly cared for, that's being left unchecked. You have the poor that's going through different things, people with mental illnesses, people with disabilities being unchecked, still a handicap of being able to, you know, resolve and acknowledge heartache and pain that has happened because of division, racial issues, things as far as, you know, all of that stuff. We leave all of this stuff unchecked.
And Desiree, right, she coming right back with you every time, like, you say something, she got it. She said there has to be a balance. That is why there are checks and balances.
Mm.
We just got checked because we've been straight up out of balance. I love you, Desiree. That's why I love you, man. No matter what we go through,
man.
We rock with you, sissy.
Oh, absolutely, sissy.
But yeah.
Noise forever.
Yeah, we appreciate that authenticity in that statement because that is so true.
Yeah.
We are out of whack. You know, we are like a child that has never been on punishment or never had to sit in the corner.
Spoiled,
you know,
rotten.
We're just so rotten.
Need a switch.
Yeah.
Somebody get a switch.
Yeah. And that's what we're going through right now in America. Mm-hmm. You know, bottom line, we're going through our spiritual whooping.
Yeah, chastisement.
You know, and our chastisement because one thing I said, like I said earlier, we've been so ugly to each other.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't been honest with each other. We've been dogging each other or just thinking about ourselves. Like, when's the last time that you actually loved your neighbor?
Wow.
Or checked on your neighbor, you know,
mm-hmm.
before all this happened, where we couldn't even be in close proximity with our neighbor.
Right now your neighbor is in quarantine. Don't go talk to your neighbor right yet.
Now this is the whole hashtag social distancing.
Oh, my God.
You know, all this type of stuff that's going on now because of what we're going through.
Yeah.
But before that even was in place, when was the last time that you took away from social media and you actually got in your car and went and visited one of your loved ones, or you made a phone call instead of typing in Messenger and saying, hey, how you doing? Or instead of looking on Facebook and commenting,
yeah.
When is the last time you actually called someone and heard their human voice, or, you know, went to dinner or a movie or a show?
Interesting.
All
age.
The things that's been ripped from us,
yeah,
we took advantage of.
Yeah, wow.
Everything that's been ripped from us, we took advantage of. Now God has focused and said, you know what? I'm putting y'all back with y'all family and y'all going to fix it. Y'all going to get this stuff right. Yeah, yeah. Your child. I done took your child out of school. I saw something on Facebook, and it was saying,
Lord.
It was talking about how, you know, how a teacher will call home and say your child has been bad or your child has did something wrong, and, you know, you'll be like, okay, you know, not my child, not little Jimmy, because Jimmy doesn't do no wrong. And then, you know, now that you have to homeschool your children, you're realizing, like, that teacher wasn't lying. Because everything that that teacher has been telling you that your child has been doing, they are actually doing in front of your face now that you're responsible for teaching them.
Right. Now Jimmy is at the house quarantined with you. And now you trying to figure out how not to kill Jimmy with one of the many rolls of toilet paper that you stocked up on because of the coronavirus lockdown. So, like, But kind of going back to like how it's affecting, you know, how it's affecting, you know, our faith or charging our fear. This is an excellent segue into it because, like you were saying.
Hi, welcome to the show. Who do we have on the line?
Hi, it's Desiree.
Hi, Desiree. How are you?
I'm good, ladies. How are you?
We are great. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for chiming in.
Yes.
Hey, it's always good not to hear a from problem. Me. This is my little thing that I want to say. It's we always felt as a country, and not like Americans per se.
Right.
But I think a lot of them have that arrogant, you know, that arrogant air to them. However, you know, we always felt like we were the ones in authority. You know what I'm saying? And God's like, no. Let me show you who really is an authority. And he checked all the world with this because we have been so completely unbalanced. And I think with everything that is going on, there's so much beauty that is underlying too. And God needed to bring us to our absolute, prostrate. He had to lay this world prostrate for us to get it. And I hope we remember everything we took for granted, just the little things, being able to make a phone call, being able to go to your neighbors without having to social distance yourself. I hope we remember this. And I hope we remember it's not America that's in authority. God runs the show.
That's right.
Yes, he set kings in place because we wanted that. We wanted that. And now that we have it, there's so many differing opinions. But he's like, look. Stop. I need you guys to get on the same page.
Yeah.
I made you for community, and I will take it all away from you right now so you see how important it is.
Wow.
Heck yeah, sis.
Never thought about it like that, Desiree. That is a really great point. I don't know if you caught that, if you're just now tuning in, but she said God had to pull us away from community for us to realize how important community really is. That statement right there is powerful,
yeah.
And that is so true. We tend to tuck back in our corners and think we don't need anybody. Desiree, I'm going to put you on hold 1 second. I have another person chiming in on the line, and I'm going to get right back to you, okay?
Okay.
Give me 1 second. Hi, welcome to Inspired Movement. Who do we have on the line?
This is Craig. How you doing?
Oh. Good. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing well, and I'm very blessed.
Awesome.
And you?
We are wonderful. Is there any thoughts that you have on our show tonight?
Love kicks fear out of the way. So love made a way for us to do what we do. And love, when you look back, shows you how love fixed everything where you made a mistake. So when you talk, you're going to be talking about what love has done, and what love is doing. So that's a wonderful thing. That's a comfort.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely need the love of God to definitely be prevalent during this time, and also too, it talks about in the word that sometimes one of the ways that God loves us is through correction, is through that chastisement to set us back in that place to remind us of who we are in him. What's most important when it comes to representing him? What's most important when it comes to how we connect with others? So you're absolutely right. This is so key that we still in the midst of even going through everything with the virus that's going on and other things that's happening around our world, to be cognitive and mindful of the love of God. So I absolutely agree with you, Craig. Where are you from?
Yeah, I'm from California. Yeah.
Oh, cool. What part of California are you from?
The West Coast.
Now, are you in a city right now where it's under, I think they have some of the cities within California under lockdown. Are you in one of those cities or no?
Yes.
So can you share with us, how's that kind of been affecting you?
Well, it's just making me become more aware of little habits that I may have had before that I didn't really realize that were habits. But when they tell you to do things differently, then you have to change some of those habits, that touching your face, which we touch our face, 50 to 500 times a day,
Right.
And yeah, so we want to keep our hands off our face, and we want to keep our hands sterilized and wash your hands. I wash my hands at least 50 times a day, if not more, just because I feel that way. So to me, I think it's a time where people are going to be, there's a lot of bad things that are going to happen, because when you get people that have to stay inside together, there's going to be a lot of there's going to be a lot of domestic violence and stuff going to be rising because of that. And people have a lot of issues, and people are always, you know, there's always dysfunctional families, and then there's always functional families. In a functional family, there's not really a power struggle going on. A lot of parents are single parents, and they have a defiant child, or, you know, the child's not not doing things correctly. They're not reflecting something because something's missing. In a broken family, a child may be bankrupt of love. So that may be a big problem for a lot of kids and parents because they don't have that love from the other parent. So the other parent tries to overcompensate, and you want to give your, you don't want to lose your child's affection. So you overcompensate in the areas where you should be a little bit more firm. But since they're going through these things, you want to give them everything. And, you know, there's all these little things going on, but in spite of all that, I think we're going to learn to retrain ourselves and develop some good habits. And I think it's a great time to practice these things in the home, and don't give up. You know, if you're changing something that you do every day and you forget to do it, then the minute you forget that you know you were supposed to do something, then you remember you forgot, then you can continue doing it. You don't give up.
Right.
So I would say don't give up. You know, your future is bright. And if you learn to regulate yourself in a way that you can be a blessing, because the wellspring of life comes from within, you know, and so you can be a blessing to people. I think it's important.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Definitely.
I know, Jasmine, I know with you being a mom, I know that probably resonates with you too, as far as just, you know, probably seeing other things kind of show up and kind of come to the surface in the midst of, you know, the kids being home from school right now, and just those conversations and different things like that, some of the things that Craig was mentioning. I don't know if you want to comment on that too, Jasmine.
Yeah, absolutely. Just what Craig was saying was, you know, just that balance. And some homes don't have that balance. Some homes don't have that, you know, pretty much like our sister Desiree was saying, and I'm going to bring her back on the line just one second. Okay. But just like our sister Desiree was saying about the checks and balance system, when it comes to my children, you know, sometimes people felt like I was too hard on them in certain instances, but it shaped them and it molded them to have, you know, honor, and it humbled them in a way to where they didn't think they were better than the next person, but they also knew the authority that they had, you know. And it's kind of that balance, and I'm learning that with my own children, you know, how hard it is for everybody for your life to be just uprooted and changed. But I'm also learning that if you started off with a good foundation, it's not hard to navigate through if you have the Lord in the center of it all. And I think that's what a lot of parents, kind of like Craig said, it's a lot of parents, unfortunately, that don't have that structure. And that's not how they raise their households. So it's a lot of praying that we need to do on our part, and being kind and being loving to help one another and to pour into one another ways that we can possibly or potentially help them to rise up into a better standard of how they are stewarding their home. So, you know, back in the day, they used to say it took a village, you know, and that village is kind of gone now, but I feel like God is kind of bringing us back to that village.
Yeah.
I cannot agree more. Definitely on that.
I think also too, us being in this situation, you know, kind of to the point of the broadcast for tonight, you know, how are we allowing these changes, these different things affect us, whether it's from a place of faith or whether it's from a place of fear. You know, one thing about being in a position where you feel like, or you have relationship with God, where you are solid in that, it helps you to be able to stand in a place of faith, but also being able to hear God and get direction and have preparation. You know, you think about the story about Joseph in the Bible, you know, how it talks about, you know, when Pharaoh was having those dreams and he didn't understand what was going on. And Joseph, God gave Joseph the revelation that, hey, these dreams is about famine that's coming and it's about years of plenty that's coming, you know. And it didn't stop with Joseph just understanding what God was saying, but he went on and went into action to do something to prepare for the things that was coming. And I think that with America and with us, not only America governmentally, but also with us, for us who are, you know, believers, there's a level of, there's a balance of both faith and preparation. You know, we take our direction from God when it comes to preparing. And sometimes there is a fine line between what that preparation looks like versus what fear looks like. You know, preparation, you know, yes, if God is speaking to you, hey, that you do need to stock up and you do need to do these things, you do need to care for your body better and build up your immune system better and have things on deck, we should be ready regardless, in and out of season, it for anything. But then you have fear, where now you have some people that's so freaked out because they don't have a solid foundation of hope of what's coming for the future, or understanding of where they are positionally, financially, whatever. And so then you have people running out and not only just buying up thousands of rolls of tissue or buying up all of this water, but now they're in their homes and they're like fearful and afraid, and there's no sense of direction. So, I mean, I would be curious to hear how some of you guys think about that. You know, what do you feel like is the difference between, you know, being in a place of faith and preparation versus fear? If anyone wants to comment on that.
Like, I say for myself, I know that I used to operate in a lot of fear. I just did. I would just worry for whatever reason. Don't even know why. I don't know if it's because my mom was a worrier and that's what I knew.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so crazy. Like, and I've said this before, I think I'm underreacting or something, because I have so much, like, peace in this whole thing. That's where normally I would flip out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know about martial law. I was in the military. I know how things can go down and go down south real fast.
Yeah.
But I, like, right now, there's, and it has to be the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, because this is not my normal. But I tell you what, when you are walking in faith, I think there just can't be that element of fear, because you ultimately know that whatever happens, your footsteps are ordered by Him.
Right.
And you know where you're going. So,
yeah.
With that being said, I don't know how this is all going to work out. I have no clue. What I do know is who I rest my faith in. I know that I've read the book of Revelation, so if it's game time, it's game time, and that's just what it's going to be.
Yeah.
But I know where I'm going.
Right. Absolutely.
And that's the difference.
Cool. Jess, do you have any words that you want to jump in on?
No, I totally agree with what Desiree said. I just think when it comes to faith and fear, we got to realize what monster we're feeding the most. You know, whatever monster we're feeding the most is what will overtake us all, you know. So what are we feeding daily? Are we waking up feeding our faith, or are we waking up feeding our fear? And I think there's been plenty of times through all of this that I've woke up instantly and fed my fear, and then I got checked by the Lord that this is not how we're going to operate today. You know, so I had to change it, and I had to speak life to it, and I had to make it resurrect itself and, you know, come back to a place where I felt free again. You know, being locked down or being in quarantine, it's like we're in a free quarantine almost. It's like we're not completely shut down, but we're shut down to the point where we can feel it. mm-hmm. you know, and it's not our everyday normal.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's the biggest thing where I've been like, you know what, this is a little different. This is something I'm not used to. My kids haven't had to endure anything like this. This is a first for a lot of us.
Yeah.
You know, some of our older generation people lived through a lot more than us.
Russian
and the Holocaust. Depression and the Holocaust and slavery. And we can just name a ton of different things that people older than us have endured and lived through. Even 9/11, you know, I remember where I was in 9/11. And when I watched it, it affected me in a way that I was like, whoa,
mm-hmm.
is this it?
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of that same feeling I'm getting again, like, whoa, is this it?
Yeah.
You know, but by trusting God and having him at the center of everything, I think, you know, that is the key in this season in operating in a place of being full of faith versus being full of fear.
Yeah. I think it also, too, it helps us to reprioritize, you know, what's primary, you know, our faith, obviously, that's something that should be primary, our family. That should be primary. Our health, that should be primary. And, you know, just I think that's probably the biggest thing that I've taken from this so far is recognizing what is primary. What am I doing to improve the things that are primary in my life? You know, especially, you know, if you're a working class citizen, you know, it's so easy to allow that 9-to-5 to completely just take over your entire day or take over your life. And you find yourself finding, you know, more reasons why you can't have those conversations with your husband or your wife or spend time with your kids or, you know, check on that parent or check on those family members or take time to go ahead and take those moments of rest and, you know, or go ahead and make that commitment to, you know, eat better or, you know, work out and take care of your body. I mean, there's so many things that that we allow to eat up our time and eat up the things that are supposed to be priority. So I think it's interesting that now, you know, we have to be at home. We have to have our families around us. We have to make sure that we have the primary things. And to that point, you know, just a couple things, you know, when it comes to how they're, you know, fighting this virus or fighting this thing, you know, we've been looking up and researching just about even the vaccines and stuff like that. And I just was thinking to myself, me and Jasmine was talking, like, if we were to take care of our bodies and put the things properly in our bodies as we should, we wouldn't have to have such a high need and dependency on all of the medications that we constantly find ourselves having to take. You know, so even that, even us questioning, you know, all these things that we're doing is the neglect, the checks and the balances. What have I done to make sure that I follow the checks and balances when it even comes to my own health? So when things like this take place, I have a better chance of being able to overcome it. So those are just a lot of things that has been on my mind as of recently when it comes to that.
We have a couple minutes left. If anybody wants to, we have about a minute left. If anybody wants to say anything or to comment, Craig, do you have any final words?
Yeah, but man, my words are going to take up too much time. I don't know if I can spit it out fast enough.
I don't want it to cut you off, but you got about 5 minutes.
Oh, 5 minutes. Okay. Yeah. So. I think it's really important that that we continue to stay in the Word of God, those of us that have a relationship, those of us who have been illuminated with Christ's Spirit. Anyone that's illuminated with Christ's Spirit is illuminated with God's glory, because you have to remember something. God's presence, kind of glory of God. The consuming fire that he is, consumed everything that's not of him, and he shows himself. He shows himself. So if I see him, I don't see any end times and all that stuff. I mean, all that stuff, sorry. I don't see any of that. I meant to say something. I didn't even say the S word. I said sit.
No, you got
No judgment, Craig. No judgment.
Okay. Okay. That's cool. That's cool. I check myself there, so it's okay.
Yeah.
I felt a little bit weird because, you know, here I am, you know, saying things. Okay. But so what when we study the Word of God, we have to remember there's some very, very important things to remember when you're studying. And one of the things to remember is when you come across the word you, he's not talking to you, the first century people, because there was an audience, and that's relevant. So you must pay attention to that fact. Now, obviously, God's letting us in on the conversation that he was having with them. And once you understand that, that changes everything again. And what does it change? It means now you're listening to him and not what man thinks that God is saying to you. Because you get all these people out there going to church and sitting at the feet of the pastor. My pastor knows everything, and he ain't listening to what the Spirit's saying. The Spirit's the one that teaches. Remember Mary? Mary sat down at the feet of Jesus. Martha was busy doing this and that, doing all this, and she was complaining. What was the better thing to do? Sit at the feet of Jesus. How do you do that? Well, if you've been illuminated with Christ's Spirit, then you can see the Messiah spiritually, so you know that the Word of God is not just a Bible in the bookstore with words in it. This book has words in it that become alive to you. And now you can hear God speaking to you through his word. So when you open up the word, you're sitting at the feet of Jesus. And you're listening to God speak to you through his word. A lot of people ain't listening to what God's saying. They listen to what some man says. Man put himself in the seat of God, show himself as God and everything, and saying, hey, in the name of Jesus. You know what all that?
Right.
Man, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Craig. I mean, we would love to talk to you and have you on another show coming up, because we're going to be doing these live Inspired Movement shows at least once a week, starting off now. This is kind of our relaunch, so we are grateful that we had you and Desiree joining me and Jewel on the line tonight. And I'm sorry to cut you off, but the time, our live on-air stream is about to end. And we just want to thank you both for being a part of the Inspired Movement tonight. And may God bless you and keep you. And I ask if you guys join us again next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Amen.
Amen to that.
All righty.
I'm gonna make a change. For once in my life, it's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turned up the collarbone, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them need? A son of disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one man's soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one yet to know. Somebody